So thank you. Sorry for running late. We actually, from Vermont, and this whole big city thing is kind of new to us. And we took the shuttle, and our shuttle hit a car, and I don't know, we were in the middle of the road for a while. So, but we're here. We made it, and nobody was injured. So, we're going to kind of, I guess, round up this session talking about this project that we did as part of our second year curriculum at the University of Vermont Medical School. And there are groups of, 6 to 8 students who all do some sort of a public health project. And how it works is there are different organizations throughout the, throughout Vermont who come to UVM and say, we need some help, or we need some data, analyzed, or we need some ideas, and they propose a project to the university. The university chooses, 15 of them, and then we get to choose which project we're interested in working on. So what our group chose was to work with the Committee on Temporary Shelter, which is one of the organizations in Vermont who serve the homeless population. They actually provide the most beds for the homeless population throughout the state. And they had an idea that that their population of guests who stay, may have issues, with their feet for a variety of reasons, not only being that it gets very cold in Vermont and, unless you have really good foot care or foot wear, that can take a pretty good toll on their feet. So they wanted us to come and have a look and kind of let them know if there were issues and what the issues were and what they could do to try to tackle those. So
that brings us to our purpose.
Disclosure. So the following personal financial relationships with commercial interests relevant to this presentation, which existed during the past 12 months, are none for myself.
And then for me, the following personal financial relationships with commercial interests relevant to this presentation existed during the past 12 months. No relationships to disclose. So our purpose here was to characterize the put at your needs and concerns of the homeless population of Burlington, Vermont. So just as a broad introduction, homelessness provides a really unique sort of background in which to address personal health issues. Some health issues that kind of affect the homeless population includes things like substance abuse, mental health, infection, dermatologic, cardiovascular, metabolic diseases, and such things like those. These issues have been proven to be a significant burden on public health in regards to cost and the risks related to certain diseases. For the homeless population, lower extremity health is of particular importance because a lot of these people end up spending a large majority of their days on their feet, and it's important for them not only for maintaining overall health, but also for allowing them easier access to employment and housing, it allows them easier access to employment and housing and potentially a way to escape homelessness. If some common foot issues that anyone else can just go to their doctor or podiatrist to talk about in this population aren't identified early and taken care of early, they can lead to more serious problems such as chronic pain, disability, or complete loss of function of those limbs, which puts these individuals at greater risk of chronic homelessness. So even though it's important to understand the risk factors and other factors that influence the lower extremity health of this population, there have actually been very few studies in the past that have actually looked at these sort of things. So that's why we decided to go and have a crack at it. The way that we did this is that we offered free foot screenings at the homeless shelter, the Community on Temporary Shelter in Burlington, Vermont. In total, 21 people were screened during fall of 2013 over 6 sessions. Each session was attended by either a podiatrist, an orthopedic surgeon who specialized in foot and ankle, or an internal medicine hospitalist. The screenings that we provided included musculoskeletal, neurological, circulatory, and dermatologic assessments. And in the process of these screenings, we also tried to obtain the medical and social histories of these individuals, and we also tried to kind of gauge the participants' knowledge of proper foot care as well. So in terms of some general results, when we asked them how many of them actually had concerns about their feet, the vast majority, about 80-90% of them, said that they did have some concerns about their feet. When we asked them how many hours a day they spent on their feet, it was pretty split. About half of them said less than 8 hours a day, another half of them said greater than 8 hours a day. In terms of the usual state of their feet, about 50% reported good, and the rest was split between fair and poor. What's important to note here is that as part of our evaluation, we also asked how many of terms of how many of them had, or how long it had been since these people had last had a foot exam, a little bit over 30% said less than 3 months. About 10-ish percent said 3 to 12 months, and the majority said that they hadn't had a foot exam in the last 12 years, or in the last 12 months, or that they just didn't remember.
So, let's go ahead. So, in terms of some other findings that we had, we asked them, you know, did they have diabetes? Did they have, you know, other circulatory issues? Did they have, you know, they had heart attacks? Did they, you know, kind of asked them general, you know, chronic health diseases, and a third of them, you know, have known chronic health issues. And two-thirds of them actually had some sort of foot problem or a past foot surgery that wasn't just like, oh yeah, you know, my toes bumped. You know, it was that they either had some sort of, you know, surgery the past, that they had, you know, diagnosed plantar fasciitis, you know, that they, you know, had seen a physician for at some point in their life, you know, for some sort of, you know, either orthopedic surgery or for something. So that we felt that was pretty significant. In terms of objective abnormalities, so that's when we took a look at their feet and, you know, we did strength and sensation testing and, you know, could look at their nails and at the skin. We found that 71% of them had some sort of, an abnormality. And then when we'd asked them before our exam, we asked them, you know, how many of them felt like they had an abnormality. 62% said that they did. And in terms of what they reported, most of them reported having some numbness and pain. And then smaller percentages said that they, you know, experienced some burning or some itching. And some of the other things that we'd asked them about was, you know, discolorations in their feet or, you know, issues with their skin. And those were, you know, all, you know, very minimal, if any. But the numbness and the pain were definitely the two top concerns that they've reported having with their feet. So kind of just bring this all together, discussion. So I think important to note that we found that more of them had issues with their feet than they felt like they had. So, you know, there's a couple reasons why, you know, that could be, but, you know, we immediately thought that it could be a lack of education and, you know, knowledge, and also whether or not they, you know, care enough to look at their feet and to make sure that they, you know, aren't recognizing, you know, when they have breaks in their skin, you know, stress fractures or things like that. It's just not something that's kind of high on their priority list as someone who's homeless in Burlington. Also realized that very few of them actually wore clean socks. They'd have one or two or a couple pairs that they would have, but they always, they were very funny. For the most part, they apologized, you know, about the fact that their socks weren't clean, you know, when they came and would take them off. But that was definitely a concern of ours. And very few of them practice appropriate nail care. A lot of them came and wanted us to actually cut their nails for them. They didn't have access to clippers or anything like that. And we can talk about that after, but that's what a lot of them, you know, came in with issues with their nails. They did report, however, that they shower on a regular basis. We asked them what they did to kind of, you know, keep their health, their feet clean and healthy. Part of this could be because they're actually staying at a shelter that provides, you know, showers, and I think actually requires them to, you know, shower on a somewhat regular basis. Also, as Michael had said before, you know, it's been a year or more since a lot of these guests have had a foot exam, and seeing that there's a, you know, fairly high comorbidity, you know, with chronic diseases and, you know, foot health issues, that was something that really, you know, kind of didn't really settle well with us. So, you know, these issues are prevalent. You know, it was one thing that we could bring back to COS and say, yes, there are foot issues. The fact that they spend a lot of time on their feet. We didn't do a whole lot of assessing actual footwear, but I can tell from the six, I think, individuals that I saw, maybe one of them had a good pair of shoes. The rest of them, you know, maybe didn't fit or did, you know, would never lace them or, you know, were definitely very old and lacking support, just from our little bit of knowledge that we have about footwear, that they really didn't have access to foot exams. You know, they were coming to this so that they could, you know, ask us questions. They had a lot of questions about their feet and get their nails trimmed and stuff like that. And then a third of them did have these, you know, known pre-existing health problems, and our assumption is probably more of them had some health issues that just hadn't yet to be identified. So we felt like, you know, the one thing that we could do is to educate, and that was part of what we tried to do while we were there, and, you know, going forward, hope to be able to continue with, and being able to provide foot exams and a method of follow-up care. So for them just coming in and saying, you know, I have this issue, you know, for a one-time visit may not be the most sustainable for a project like this, but being able to kind of hook them up with somebody in the community who, you know, is willing to see them and to help them with their foot health would be really great. And at the same time, you know, whether it was that person or someone else who was also able to, you know, kind of talk to them a little bit about these chronic issues, the health issues that they had that, you know, could affect their feet and the rest of their body in theory. So, so we're obviously no longer there at COTS, and, you know, what's going to happen now, you know, we've talked to somebody at the community health center and then another nurse practitioner in the area who, you know, have said that, yes, you know, they're willing to, you know, kind of be liaisons and see these patients. And we also spoken with COTS about giving out information pamphlets or what, you know, trying to ask them what they felt like is, they might feel like is the most beneficial for their guests in terms of, you know, how do we give them more information? How do we give the guests more information? How do we give people who are coming in and staying now and weren't there last fall, you know, that might need some of this this education? And then another step is, in terms of our medical education, we found as we took on this project that we really learned nothing about feet. We learned the anatomy of feet, first year in anatomy, but we don't really learn, you know, about how to do a good foot exam and, you know, what some of the really common problems are that we probably could fix before we sent them to a podiatrist. And that's something that, you know, we as students really felt like our curriculum was lacking. We were lucky enough to work with a couple podiatrists in the area who came in and were able to kind of teach us, but we were only a group of six, and a lot of medical students, you know, aren't getting this kind of education. And then kind of thinking about, you know, can we apply this model to other communities or to other problems? You know, does COTS think that there are other problems that, you know, need some sort of, you know, education and intervention that, you know, we can use the students and our, you know, knowledge and time to form some sort of a program where we can, you know, educate these people and get them linked up to the correct, you know, providers in the community that are willing to help them out. So that's kind of what we did. Does the member have any questions about the project?
I actually volunteer to free clinics at mom, healthcare clinics. One's a church based clinic, the other's a nurse practitioner on clinic. And they're totally different clinics. One is primarily disabled, one is not. Anyway, I think a lot of people are looking for ways to volunteer. Having the facility, like I said, have a pediatric clinic, probably not have that hard time finding somebody to volunteer one night a month, which I go two nights a month. But it's just starting a clinic at, you know, in a 3 minute clinic. And I do see a lot of people. I see a variety of things. Just, I mean, I see the same kind of stuff I see in my office.
It seems like there is, you know, a fair amount of, you know, people who are willing, you know, to come as long as the groundwork is kind of done. They'll say, okay, we'll show up for 3 hours. And
yeah, I mean, if I'm that long, it's an hour, right? It's an hour.
Yeah.
And it's on the court. It's on the court.
We don't, and part of our data collection was forced upon us to be very broad because of our IRB, basically the what the IRB allowed us to do, and it would have been, I think, really prohibitive for us to have tried to get a different, to be covered under a different protocol and gather more information, which is the reason why I can't tell you how many people had diabetes and how many people, you know, had cardiovascular diseases. And, you know, we would get a lot of that social information talking to the people, but it's not something that, you know, we've been able to No, you do, and you make a good point. And I think that part of this, just having now had another year of working with, you know, patients in Burlington and realizing that, you know, our N of 20 in terms of the amount of homeless people in Burlington is minuscule. And I think that really the 20 that we had, the 21 people that we had, is a really self-selected group who care about their health and who care, you know, and maybe who wanted to come for a free snack and a free pair of socks, which we, you know, we were giving away. So I think that it's hard for us to really say, you know, how many homeless people have, you know, not come, and are these 20 people, you know, or the 10, the 9 of them, you know, are they getting foot care because they have a real serious issue, or because they're interested in, you know, interacting with members of the community who are reaching out to them, and the rest of the hundreds of people who are homeless really, you know, haven't, which then would make that 45% much less. But no, it is, you make a good point.
Was this a shelter where they essentially would go at night and spend the night?
Yeah. So it opens, yeah.
Yeah, so I guess one of the concerns would be, I mean, you did the screening in the fall, it'd be interesting,
yeah,
in terms of, because one of the real risks with homelessness is exposure, obviously.
Absolutely.
And that could be a,
absolutely,
real serious problem. So I'd be,
yeah,
curious how many had, like, adequate footwear to be out in wintery,
yeah,
type conditions.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's something that, unfortunately, because of the deadlines of our project, we had to have our screening done, you know, before Thanksgiving. But and we did. We had asked people if, you know, they had had issues with frostbite and stuff in the past. But of course, some of these people, it's going to be their first winter, you know, as being homeless in Vermont. And they were also the, I think for the most part, maybe one or two of them were not actually guests at COTS. They, you know, because we tried to get any homeless people to come. It wasn't just the people who were at COTS. But of course, the people there, you know, can see that we're having these screenings and they're more likely to come. So they are having warm places to sleep between 6 p.m. And 8 a.m. or, you know, depending on the time of the year. And they're not the people who are actually living in the tents, you know, down in the park. So it is something that, like we said, if we have a clinic that runs once a month, you know, we can continue to gather data and, you know, see a broader spectrum of actually what the population encounters.